now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Exciting times these days with so many events back up and running, and it seems like every day I'm updating the World of Swank gig guide. So I'm pleased to see great health in the lounge and tiki scene. We will get to some of those events later in the show. This week, Gary Wells has another book recommendation for us, and this week, Me and the Mob and the Music by Tommy James. We have a look at our Lounge Life magazine, the Stuff segment, deep thoughts coming your way, plus the best in neo and tiki lounge music coming your way. Let's kick off with Daniel Pemberton and the Vince Cigarra Affair from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. here on the Cocktail Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation from the album The Exotic Sounds of Skip Heller Voodoo 5, which is out now. Last weekend, I had the pleasure of seeing Chris Isaak, who's been in Australia. I haven't seen him before live, and what an amazing performer. There was a couple of ordinary bands on beforehand, and you really notice how good this guy is and how he can really command a crowd and really entice a crowd to really participate. You literally notice, and it was out on a field, you literally notice that the crowd kind of moved forward as soon as he came on. Of course, he's the headline act, but it was just absolutely amazing. So if you get a chance to see Mr. Chris Isaak perform, make sure you do it, that's for sure. Cocktail Nation with Labs leader Coop Cooper with you. Official website, cocktailnation.net, if you'd like to be in touch with the show.
Cocktail Nation. Words with Dwellze.
You're a librarian! Mr. Wordsworth, you're a dealer in books and 2 cent fines and pamphlets and closed stacks and the musty insides of a language factory. Words, Mr. Wordsworth.
We live too long, people.
It was not a business negotiation, it was psychological warfare. Morris had to first make you understand that he knew he owed you money and that you were not going to get it if he didn't feel like giving it. With me, he knew when to throw a bone, but there was never any doubt who was in control. And he made me aware of this 100 times, that I was not going to be treated like a respected artist, like a human being. A few thousand here, a few thousand there. That was the closest I ever got to royalties. Hey gang, I'm Gary Wells from Vintage Leisure at soulrideblog.com, and I'm here with another book recommendation for the Cocktail Nation. This time we're looking at Me, the Mob, and the Music, One Hell of a Ride with Tommy James and the Shondells, by Tommy James with Martin Fitzpatrick from 2010. Tommy James and the Shondells and I go way back. I hold dear the memories I have of listening to their music when I was a teenager in the early 1990s. I've carried him with me all these years, and recently I made the overdue purchase of Tommy's book, the one we're looking at today. James keeps it light and simple with this engaging memoir. He tells the story of becoming the leader of one of the most popular and consistent American bands of the 1960s, and he tells it in swift, unfettered prose. An early band of Tommy's got a chance to record, and though they had their own material, they were told what song they would do, and here James experienced his first taste of corruption in the business. There was much more to come. Tommy then relates the fascinating story of the recording of his first hit, Hanky Panky, and this story alone makes Tommy's tale intriguing. And then there's Morris Levy. Much of the story of Tommy James has to do with Levy, an entrepreneur, nightclub owner, and record executive who had deep ties to organized crime. Levy owned Roulette Records, and James explains how Roulette came to sign Tommy and the Shondells. While other labels had been interested, each had been scared off by Levy and his mob connections. James then lays out a riveting two-sided tale, one of pop music success in the 1960s and one of organized crime's grip on the music business. Specifically, he provides a history of Morris Levy and how he became so powerful, and James does it in brisk, simply stated passages that make this book infinitely readable. Many will know that Morris Levy was the inspiration for the character Hesh on The Sopranos. TJ reports that Morris Levy really ran Roulette like it was a crime family with music. Levy would do favors for his artists, but then you would be in his debt. Amazing to consider that Levy simply did not pay royalties to his artists. In fact, things at Roulette were so shady that, at one point, the IRS were given their own office at the label's headquarters because of how regularly they pored over Levy's books, looking for ways to hang crimes on the mogul. It can't be overstated how interesting this is, this relationship between James and Levy. James even saying that he loved Morris Levy even though he robbed him. Eventually, James employed a lawyer to negotiate a new deal with Levy, one that involved actual payments, and James re-signed with Roulette. After a while, though, Levy simply abandoned the agreement and things reverted to the way they were. What are you going to do about it? However, James goes so far as to say that leaving Roulette would have made him feel like an orphan. Levy eventually had to leave the country due to violent disputes with rival gang families. James also was told that he should go into hiding, as Levy's enemies may attempt to harm Levy's cash cow. I'm not sure how many singers have had to take it on the lam to avoid getting kidnapped or killed. Finally, Tommy describes how he came to the decision to simply stop making music, providing no product to Roulette, product that would have made them money but not Tommy. Tommy, who was born Tom Jackson, says he had to kill Tommy James. The only way I could beat Morris was to sabotage my own career. I could have sued him, but Morris didn't care about lawsuits. Morris was a law unto himself. And when it came down to it, you weren't just fighting Morris. You were fighting all of them, the whole Genovese crime family. And they had no problem shooting their own people. What would they care about a long-haired rocker and his accountant? I was the one who would have to destroy Tommy James. If I didn't, whatever was left of Tommy Jackson would not survive. Nuggets include, Tommy estimates he was robbed of $40 million in royalties. James once almost punched out a drunken Lee Majors, and the story is true about James being in faraway Hawaii when he got the invite to play Woodstock, described to him as some gig on a pig farm. He declined, and this leads to a cool story about boarding a plane home with a bucket of fried chicken and a .22 automatic pistol. My man. To say this story is unique simply does not do it justice. For all of his hit-making years, Tommy James recorded for a record label ran by a well-connected member of a powerful crime family. The reader can't be blamed for a feeling of disbelief, but Tommy really did bond with this volatile man and came to love him. And though he was a top pop music star who sold scores of records, he, amazingly, was not paid royalties. More amazingly, when their relationship was over, Tommy says he missed it, despite receiving no money for his music until Rhino bought Roulette in the 80s and issued Shondell's music on CD. By that point, James had been through Betty Ford's clinic and had discovered faith in Jesus Christ. This, then, is a story of the music business of the 1960s, a story of organized crime, and the story of an unlikely bromance. Tommy James is a real survivor, and Me, the Mob, and the Music is an amazing rock and roll fable. So to wrap up, I can highly recommend Me, the Mob, and the Music by Tommy James and Martin Fitzpatrick. There are plenty of copies for sale at Abe Books. If you'd like to read the full review of this book, you can head over to my website. I'd like to thank Coop Cooper and Cocktail Nation. Once again, this is Gary Wells from SoulRideBlog.com, and I'm encouraging you to pick up a book.
Words with Welze, Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
It'll open the right doors.
There is something offbeat about him.
Something magical. When you are with him, you are pretty certain that nobody else is having as good a time as you are.
Coop Cooper on The Cocktail Nation. Cocktail Nation.
Tell me his name again.
Cooper.
Lounge Lothario DJ.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with the Verve Jazz Ensemble and Studio J. Also played Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads with Rum Rumba and Rose Sinclair and Road Song. Some very exciting news this week that starting this week, Cocktail Nation Evenings at the Penthouse, our midweek show airing on Signal to Noise Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via sdnradio.com. And program director Tom Keeling, who I've got to know over the last few weeks, has told me that he is excited to bring some late night cool to the station and is pleased to place it in the appropriate late nights of a Friday night, which of course is the spiritual home of all cocktail jazz, as you know. Now, this brings a total of 18 stations proudly carrying the Cocktail Nation across the globe, along with the podcast, which helps me reach over a million listeners each week, which is absolutely terrific. So thank you very much to the crew over at stnradio.com. A look at Lounge Life magazine now as we bring you the best retro stories from around the world. As I come across them, I enter them into Flipboard magazine. It's an interactive magazine in many ways, in that you can actually comment on the stories, but it actually reads and feels like a magazine. You can literally flip the pages and you can customize the magazine as you would like it to be. I love it. A great little story on Waitiki 7 on a mission to legitimize exotica as an art form. Rhythms of Reverie, Halekalani Living is the title of that story. A superstitious Vivian Lee refused to shoot a key film scene in a streetcar named Desire. It was all about a mirror breaking, which is meant to have some sort of symbolization of sexual violence and the imagery of Blanche's fractured psyche. And Lee was superstitious and refused to break the mirror in the scene. She thought it would bring us some bad luck. And we've got 13 comedy albums in the National Recording Registry, some of which I think you'll know, and you'll really, really love some great classic comedy there for you to check out. So check out our Flipboard magazine that is called Lounge Life Magazine, and you can find it via the website cocktailnation.net.
Today, much more stuff going on.
In 1585 BC, a solar eclipse so terrified the Medians and the Lydians that they forgot about the vicious battle that they were fighting and fled the battlefield. I don't think that happened recently on the most recent solar eclipse. Do you? Maybe there were some people who were a little bit scared. Perhaps some of those flat earthers, maybe.
Well, that's about it, Stuff fans. We'll have more for you at another time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Cocktail Nation. Morricone 90 and Lounge Music number 2. It is Lounge Leader Coop Cooper with you, and of course we bring you our weekday shows, our Cocktail Nation evenings at the Penthouse shows. We also bring you the weekend shows full of Neo Lounge and Neo Tiki with lots of interviews. And many of those shows you can actually check out the archive simply by heading to the website cocktailnation.net, where you can also find the World of Swank gig guide. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm so pleased to see that there are so many different gigs on at the moment. It's unbelievable. I've been literally updating this thing on a daily basis. So check it out. Lots of great gigs from across the globe that you might like to see. Tiki Caliente, May 2nd. Lushy at the Swedish Club, May 3rd. I haven't heard from them for a while. Nutty, May 11th at the Write-Off Room at 11502 Ventura Boulevard, Studio City. May 18th, Seattle Sunset Tiki Cruise with the Tiki Crafts. May 19th, Fat Cat Swinger at Campus Jack's Newport Beach. May 21st, Engelbert Humperdinck is here at the State Theatre in Sydney. And yours truly has his tickets ready to go. We've also got Money Valentine, June 2 at the Catalina Jazz Club. Exoticon Music and Arts Festival, June 8 and 9. June 15, Tiki Inferno being held in Hell. Hell, Michigan, that is, with Roland Remington headlining. So if you've got a gig on, I'd love to hear from you. Simply head to the website, cocktailnation.net, and you can send me an email, send me a flyer or something like that, and we'll put it up on the website for you as quickly as we can.
On the Cocktail Nation, Coupe et Goût Deep.
The biggest joke on mankind is that computers have started asking humans to prove that they aren't a robot.
Very deep, Cocktail Nation. Justice Cooper.
You're a spy!
An ordinary black leather case with 20 rounds of ammunition here and here.
Why can't you just be a good boy and die?
You first.
You stand for everything I write against.
Well, this should be interesting.
Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation and Kenny Sasaki with Naughty. Next week on the show, Jason Whiten and Spy Vibe. I'm going to leave you with Ike Quebec and Just One More Chance. Stay home.